Right. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Sunday morning service at Shield of Faith Baptist Church. It's great to see everybody here this morning. I trust we're all ready to sing. Amen. So let's turn right to the front of the book, song number 15. It's a great song. Let's sing it out with all our hearts. Song number 15, Lead Me to Calvary. A little red hymn book. So right to the front, song 15, Lead Me to Calvary. On the first, King of my life, I crown thee now. Thine shall the glory be. Lest I forget thy thorn-crowned brow, lead me to Calvary. Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine end. I forget thy love for me, lead me to Calvary. Show me the tomb where thou wast laid, tenderly mourned and wept. Angels in robes of light arrayed guarded thee whilst thou slept. Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love for me, lead me to Calvary. Let me, like Mary, through the gloom come with a gift. Forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love for me, lead me to Calvary. On the last, may I be willing, Lord, to bear daily my cross for thee. Cup of grief to share, thou hast borne all for me. Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love for me, lead me to Calvary. Great singing. Brother Victor, will you open us with a word of prayer, please?
Thank you, Father, for blessing us with this new day you've created. Just pray that you just bless the service, Lord, bless the fellowship, and use and pray.
Amen. Amen. All right, let's turn to the back of the book now, to the Christmas hymn section. We'll sing number 429, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Let's sing it out. We only get to sing these songs for 1 month a year. Amen. Let's sing it out. 429. Hark the Herald Angels Sing. On the first.
Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild. God and sin. With angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting. God.
All right. Well, good morning. Welcome to Shield of Faith Baptist Church. If you need a pen or a bulletin, just raise your hand and we'll have someone drop one off for you. So in the meantime, we're going to go through these announcements here. Weekly church service time. Sunday mornings are at 10:30, Sunday evenings at 6, and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Now, underneath there is a list of soul winning times. Soul winning is where we go out to the community and preach the gospel to the lost. If you have any questions, 208-391-5323. And again, if you want to call the church phone, it could be a week before I get back to you. So text or email is probably, text is probably the best. Not email right now, so for obvious reasons. Let's see, if you open up your bulletin on the next page under announcements. Caden, is it good? And don't forget all that stuff in the back there. That's the only thing that's not is the modem and the pole. Okay. So with that being said, we are going to have one more song before we receive the offering.
All right, let's grab those hymn books one more time, please, and we'll turn to number 428. It Came Upon a Midnight Clear. Let's sing it out. 428, It Came Upon a Midnight Clear.
It came. Angels band.
Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Thank you so much, Lord, for allowing us to be able to meet here this morning. I just pray that you'd bless the service, the fellowship, Lord, the soul winning, everything we have going on today. We do humbly thank you for everything that you continuously do for us and for your protection. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Good morning, everybody. Please turn your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy chapter number 32. And as our custom, we'll be reading the entire chapter together. Deuteronomy chapter number 32. And when you get there, starting at verse number 1, the Bible reads, "Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain, my speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass, because I will publish the name of the Lord. Ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment, a God of truth, and without iniquity, just and right is he. They have corrupted themselves, their spot is not the spot of his children. They are a perverse and crooked generation. Do ye thus requite the Lord, O foolish people and unwise? Is not he thy father that hath bought thee? Hath he not made thee and established thee? Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will shew thee. Thy elders, and they will tell thee. When the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land, and in the waste howling wilderness. He led him about, he instructed him, he kept him as the apple of his eye. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. So the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. He made him ride on the high places of the earth, that he might eat the increase of the fields. And he made him to suck honey out of the rock, and oil out of the flinty rock, butter of kine, and milk of sheep, with fat of lambs and rams of the breed of Bashan, and goats with the fat of kidneys of wheat, and thou didst drink the pure blood of the grape. But Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxen fat, thou art grown thick, thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. They provoked him to jealousy with strange gods. With abominations provoked they him to anger. They sacrificed unto devils, not to God, to gods whom they knew not, to new gods that came newly up, whom your fathers feared not. Of the rock that begat thee, thou art unmindful, and hast forgotten God that formed thee. And when the Lord saw it, he abhorred them, because of the provoking of his sons and of his daughters. And he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be, for they are a very froward generation, children in whom is no faith. They have moved me to jealousy with that which is not God. They have provoked me to anger with their vanities, and I will move them to jealousy with those which are not a people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. For a fire is kindled in mine anger, and shall burn unto the lowest hell, and shall consume the earth with her increase, and set on fire the foundations of the mountains. I will heap mischiefs upon them. I will spend mine arrows upon them. They shall be burnt with hunger, and devoured with burning heat, and with bitter destruction. I will also send the teeth of beasts upon them, with the poison of serpents of the dust. The sword without, and terror within, shall destroy both the young man and the virgin, the suckling also with the man of gray hairs. I said, I would scatter them into corners. I would make the remembrance of them to cease from among men. Were it not that I feared the wrath of the enemy, lest their adversaries should behave themselves strangely, and lest they should say, our hand is high, and the Lord hath not done all this. For they are a nation void of counsel, neither is there any understanding in them. Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. How should one chase 1,000, and 2 put 10,000 to flight, except their rock had sold them, and the Lord had shut them up? For their rock is not as our rock, even our enemies themselves being judges. For their vine is of the vine of Sodom, and of the fields of Gomorrah. Their grapes are grapes of gall, their clusters are bitter. Their wine is the poison of dragons, and the cruel venom of asps. Is not this laid up in store with me, and sealed up among my treasures? To me belongeth vengeance and recompense. Their foot shall slide in due time, for the day of their calamity is at hand, and the things that shall come upon them make haste. For the Lord shall judge his people, and repent himself for his servants, when he seeth that their power is gone, and there is none shut up or left. And he shall say, where are their gods, their rock in whom they trusted, which did eat the fat of their sacrifices, and drank the wine of their drunk offerings, of their drink offerings? Let them rise up and help you, and be your protection. See now that I, even I, am he, and there is no God with me. I kill, and I make alive. I wound, and I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand. For I lift up my hand to heaven, and say, I live forever. If I whet my glittering sword, and mine hand take hold on judgment, I will render vengeance to mine enemies, and will reward them that hate me. I will make mine arrows drunk with blood, and my sword shall devour flesh, and that with the blood of the slain and of the captives, from the beginning of revenges upon the enemy. Rejoice, O ye nations, with his people, for he will avenge the blood of his servants, and will render vengeance to his adversaries, and will be merciful unto his land and to his people. And Moses came and spake all the words of this song in the ears of the people, he and Hoshea the son of Nun. And Moses made an end of speaking all these words to all Israel. And he said unto them, set your hearts unto all the words which I testify among you this day, which ye shall command your children to observe to do, all the words of this law. For it is not a vain thing for you, because it is your life. And through this thing ye shall prolong your days in the land whither ye go over to Jordan to possess it. And the Lord spake unto Moses that selfsame day, saying, get thee up into this mountain Abarim, unto Mount Nebo, which is in the land of Moab, that is over against Jericho. And behold, the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel for a possession. And die in the mount whither thou goest up, and be gathered unto thy people, as Aaron thy brother died in Mount Hor, and was gathered unto his people, because he trespassed against me among the children of Israel at the waters of Meribeth Kadesh, in the wilderness of Zin, because he sanctified me not in the midst of the children of Israel. Yet thou shalt see the land before thee, but thou shalt not go thither unto the land which I give the children of Israel. Brother Jeremiah, would you pray for us?
All right, amen. So we're in Deuteronomy chapter number 32. Obviously, it's a far venture from Matthew chapter 12. We've been going through the book of Matthew on Sundays, but this morning we need to take a break, okay? And we're going to be dealing with a very serious subject this morning, a very serious situation that happened at our church last Sunday morning. And I'm just going to give you the title right off the bat. The title is this: the Boise Police are anti-peace. Okay, the Boise Police are anti-peace. Now, I just want to start off with a disclaimer to kind of put you at ease. Okay, I'm not against every single police officer. Okay, this is not to bash people, every single person in law enforcement. This is simply to basically explain what's going on in this country today. Okay, the promotion of evil has accelerated just in the last 6 months. Okay, and we need to be aware of this. Now, also, right off the bat, I want you to understand that you are definitely safe in this church, okay? We have several people in here. We know what we're doing. You have a couple of vets in here that are more than familiar with combat, with warfare, but I don't expect anything like that to come, but nonetheless, we do need to be prepared. And on that same note, again, we don't hate the police. We've had some very great interactions with the police. For example, a couple years ago, we were in Ontario, Oregon,
Okay, we were soul winning. Someone called the police. They showed up, what, 5-6 minutes? Okay, they were quick. And they loved us. You know, they're like, you guys are preaching the word. You're not soliciting at all. Like, they quoted us the law. I mean, they took care of us. We had great fellowship with them. It was awesome. It was a great time. Now, let's talk about Meridian. We're 50-50 with Meridian, okay? Some of you had some great interactions with Meridian PD where they're like, oh, you're just preaching the Bible. Amen. This is good to go. There's been other situations where they're like, well, you know, you just need to leave anyways, blah, blah, blah. I don't want to get too much into that. And then we had a situation with Boise PD. We've had a couple situations with Boise PD. One in particular last, I want to say it was August. We were soul winning right off of Mitchell, okay, Mitchell and Fairview in this neighborhood. And someone had called the church right after that and made some pretty grievous threats, talking about burning this place down, doing horrible, vile, filthy things. And it was needful for me to go to the police, okay? I went to the police, and the police officer was literally shocked at the things that this individual said. A day later, he found out who said it, where the guy lived, and he's like, this guy, he said this. He's like, this guy is a clown. He just said that he was drunk, and that's why he said all that stuff. He's like, I looked you up. I know what's going on. You know, he's like, what do you want to do about this situation? Do you want to press charges? I said, all I want you to do is to just warn this individual. Just send him a warning. Just tell him. Because here's the thing, you know, the guy basically said, if you ever come back to my house, I'm also going to do this, this, and this. And I was like, the issue with that is that we don't know exactly which door this was. Because what happened is the guy did not answer his door. And so an hour later, he opens up the door, sees our invite, and obviously knows who we are. So he got mad, called the church, made these threats. And then the police officer said, I will take care of it for you. I'll make sure. And he gave me his name, first and last name, everything, you know. But 6 months later, last Sunday, something happened outside of here that could have been extremely dangerous, could have gotten out of hand. I'm going to explain all of that in probably just a little while. We have to lay some foundation here, but I'm going to read you some messages, you know, some of the ones that I can read, and we're going to break that down, what happened, why it's happening, and exactly what we're going to do about it. The Bible has the answer for safety. The Bible has the answer for everything that we need to be able to keep worshiping the Lord, okay? And so we're going to get to that, so don't let me lose you here. We need to lay some foundation. We need to understand a few things before we get into that, okay? We're in Deuteronomy chapter number 32, and what we're going to do is we're going to take a look at the heart of God. How does God feel about law? How does God feel about law enforcement? How does God feel about our attitude towards the vile, towards these horrible, wicked people that we constantly are having to battle, okay? We're going to answer all that. And if you're a skeptic in here this morning, look, I understand, you know, people come from different backgrounds. The world is just constantly bombarding us with these things. I'm going to put you at ease. The Bible has the answer. These things that I'm going to say this morning, this is not my opinion, okay? This is the Word of God. If you're a Christian, I mean, anybody who says they're a Christian, you're saved, you believe the Bible, it's like, well, here's all the stuff that the Bible says. You know, do you want to be a person after God's own heart like David? Everybody in here does. Everybody in here does. Every Christian we ever talk to says that, right? Well, guess what? How do you learn that? Well, you learn that from understanding the things that are written in this book, okay? And that's what we're going to do this morning. And we're going to put it all together. We're going to give you some tools to defend ourselves in speech, okay? Because there are people out there today by the droves trying to silence us, trying to take away our free speech, which can never happen, okay? I'll just be right out the gate. It can never happen because we ought to obey God rather than men, okay? And so, again, I'm not trying to scare you. I'm not trying to freak you out. I just want to put you at ease that this will all make sense as we go through it. So let's start off with some context here. We're in Deuteronomy chapter number 32. Now, if you were to read in chapter 31, you would see that Moses is 120 years old, okay? Lived a long life, got a lot of experience. And what's about to happen is he's about to transfer power of the nation, basically. He's about to transfer leadership to Joshua the son of Nun. And so what happens in chapter 31 is that God calls Moses and Joshua to the tabernacle and basically tells Moses and Joshua, hey, you know, basically after Moses' departure in the future, what's going to happen is this stiff-necked people is going to rebel, okay? And that's key. Okay, that is very key for us to understand because the reason why our country is in the perils, the dangers that it's in today, are because of God's people. Stiff-necked people, people that are not willing to just simply stand up and say, this is what the book says, this is what I believe, end of story. Okay, and so what happens is Moses savagely delivers the law, okay? He gets all this, this scripture from God, writes it down, delivers it to the Levites, and just calls them stiff-necked and says, you're going to read this every 7 years. You're going to read and teach this to the whole nation. You're going to do all these things. And I know that you guys have been rebellious this day. You guys have been rebellious all my life. My whole time with you, he's like, how much more after my departure, right? Just, I mean, that's leadership, you know? There's a lot that goes into leadership, but a big aspect of being a good leader is telling people what they need to hear, regardless of whether or not it's in season or out of season, okay? And of course, in today's day and age, that is mocked, scoffed, and hated, you know, which is why this church is probably the most hated church in this whole state, okay? But it is what it is. Again, not trying to scare you, just trying to back up our position and trying to give you some practical application moving forward from today. So hopefully you got that good context right there. Let's pick it up in verse number 3, Deuteronomy 32. Look at verse number 3, and we'll see our duty as God's people. So look at what Moses says here. He's teaching the song to Israel, okay? And he says this in verse number 3, because I will publish the name of the Lord, ascribe ye greatness unto our God. This is our job. Our job is to evangelize the lost and to edify one another. And in both of those avenues, what are we doing? We're ascribing greatness, the magnificence, and the power to God. When you go to a church and you have a pastor come up in front of his congregation and says, well, in the original manuscripts, it said this. Well, we don't really know for sure if this is what it means. That person is doing a severe injustice to the Word of God. In fact, the Bible would go even as far as to say that person is committing an act of violence to the Word of God. And by the way, on that note, let's just clear up what violence is, okay? We don't condone violence at this church, okay? Violence is to violate another person. For example, if two people agree to square off in a mixed martial arts match, or they agree to square off here in the parking lot, that is not violence. That may be gory, that may be unpleasant, but it's not violent because they both agree to that action, okay? And so what I'm trying to tell you today is me preaching the Bible, you preaching the Bible, us agreeing with the Bible is not a violent act. If I say or do something and someone else takes it the wrong way and they go and take their life, that's on them, not me, okay? Now, with that in mind, we'll come back to that. Let's look at verse number 4. So again, our duty is to ascribe greatness to our God through our lives, through what we say, through what we teach. Look at verse number 4. He, this is talking about God, obviously, he says, he is the rock, okay? And so many people will agree with that. So many people will say that, but they will never fully explain to you what that means. Our rock does not change. He does not move. He does not back down. He doesn't go woke. He doesn't do any of that stuff, okay? He is the unmovable rock. When he says something in his word, he means it and it doesn't change. So what does it say? He is the rock. His work is perfect. Without error, complete. How many preachers will stand behind that statement this morning? Not very many, right? He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are what? Judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. You're going to see how that connects to police. You're going to see how that connects to how God feels about powers and positions in today's day and age. But look at verse number 5 where we're going to kind of park it for a minute. Verse 5 says this, they have corrupted themselves. Now keep in mind, Moses is teaching the nation of Israel here, and he's being very honest with them, and he's letting them know, hey, there is coming a time after my departure where I know you're going to turn your back on God. I know you're going to give up. I know you're going to quit. And he simply says this, they have corrupted themselves. Their spot is not the spot of his children. They are, and don't miss this, a perverse and crooked generation. Okay, so here you have an example of God's people in the future about to be a perverse and crooked generation. What will be the effects? What will be the results of that? Remember, God established this physical nation at this time period to be the beacon of light, to be the salt of the earth, the light of the world. That was their mission. That was what they were supposed to do. And Moses is telling them, you are going to turn away from that. And you know what? We have the same problem today, okay? So keep your place there, but go to Philippians, New Testament, the book of Philippians, Philippians chapter number 2. It's right after Ephesians. Philippians chapter number 2. And let's take a look at a problem statement here. Okay? Christians for the last, what, at least 80 to 100 years have like literally accelerated backsliding and corrupting themselves. You know, people want to riot and stuff over this and that. I think people should have put up a bigger fight back in the day when the first modern Bible version came out. I think it should have been more of a fight, and preachers should have taken it a lot more serious, you know? I think we could have slowed down a lot of the issues that we have today. If we could just get more people behind the simple fact that we serve a magnificent, powerful God that is more than capable of preserving His word and truth, we would be in a much better position today in this country, okay? But the issue here, because God's people in the Old Testament, and because God's people today, honestly, have corrupted themselves, it leaves us with a big problem, okay? What does that do? It lessens the amount of resistance that is on the earth, right? I mean, what did Jesus say about if the salt loses its savor? Okay, what's the idea? What's going to happen? Yeah, what's going to happen is the wicked will rise, they will populate, they will overflow, they will get into positions of power and make our lives a living nightmare, okay? That is what's going on here. The Bible says this in 2 Corinthians, you don't have to turn there, very familiar verse, 2 Corinthians 3:17. It says, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Look, the United States of America was founded on Christian principles. I mean, our government was modeled after principles in the Bible, and we have been in the past the freest nation in the entire world other than Old Testament Israel, okay? Old Testament Israel, when you owned property, when you owned a house, that was your stuff, okay? But we don't have time to get into that. Aside from that, okay, this country has been the freest, the most peaceful. But as free as we once were, as blessed as we once were, guess what? We're going to experience the opposite of that. And look, I'd just rather tell you the truth. Okay? I'd just rather tell you the truth. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm not trying to bog you down. But look, you got to understand the times that we're living in. You've got to understand how to deal with this. If not, then our mission is out the window, because at the end of the day, we need to get people saved. Okay, regardless of what people say, regardless of the attacks that we're under, we cannot live our lives in fear. I refuse to do that. I refuse anybody in here to go down that road. But the issue is very clear in the Bible. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Think about that. You know, when you go to a church and they say, well, you know, salvation's a free gift, right? All you got to do is give your life to Jesus Christ. And once you give your life to Him, He gives you the power to turn from your sins. And then, you know, you're in a better place, and through your, not through your works, though they mean works, you know, you're going to have a better life. You know what? There's no liberty in there. There's no freedom in there, because when we talk to these people, they're scared to death. They're absolutely scared to death, but they're telling you with a semi-straight face that they know they're going to heaven. Think about that. Okay, think about that for a second. Now let's broaden that out here. What's been going on in this nation the last several years? Get the Bible out of everything. Yeah. Look, you know where they started this, right? Get the Bible out of church. You need to be using these up-to-date modern versions. Are you crazy? And then it was, first of all, an attack, and it's still ongoing in the churches of America today. And then it's what? Get the Bible out of school. Get it out of all public buildings. Get anything to do with the God of the heavens and earth. Get it out of public sight. That's the goal. That's the goal of the media. That's the goal of the news. Have you ever noticed when you watch your favorite news anchors, you know, old Carlson Tucker, how it's just doom and gloom, right? Yeah, he reports some facts. You know, he's got some great sound bites and some facts, but you know what's missing? The solution. Have you ever thought about that? What's missing when you watch that stuff? It's the solution. You say, yeah, but I'm good to go, man. I found this website and this news and I got all this stuff. Hey, that's great. Read and understand that. But you better understand they are never giving you the solution. What's the solution? The solution is the resistance. The solution is the Word of God. The Word of God is what gives us liberty, gives us true freedom. And you're starting to see, I mean, just the fact that we're here today in 2022, living this life and seeing this filth that's going on around us, the promotion of evil, you know, the fact that you're seeing that proves the Bible to be true. Because the more God is taken out of the nation, the worse it gets. And that's always been that way. It will always be that way. I mean, let's think about this for a second here. You know, less resistance, I mean, what's the result? Again, the result is a societal meltdown. Okay, that, I mean, literally, that's the result. The result is now you have these freaks, you have these dogs, you have these horrible people coming after your children, coming after our kids. And somebody in a church this size stands up and says something, and all of a sudden we have armed people outside of our church yelling threats and threatening to kill people. And what do the police do? Nothing. We're going to come back and talk about that. What just happened this week in federal government? Let's broaden this out even further, and we'll kind of come back to a more specific thing here. What did Joe Biden just trade? Yeah. Our high-speed hero president just traded this prolific Russian arms dealer, right, that was in jail for or prison for whatever he was doing, for, you know, basically conspiring to kill Americans and things like that. The president of this nation traded that individual for a woman basketball player, professional woman's basketball player, right, that was locked up in Russia for using hash or using marijuana in a vape or something like that. And this woman hates this country. So look, I'm not this flag-waving, you know, American kind of guy, but I do appreciate the freedoms that God's given us. I mean, come on, can't we at least, you know, stand on that? Can we at least agree on that? But the president of this nation, who's also said several anti-American things, like, you know, if you want to fight against the government, you better have nukes and aircraft carriers and blah, 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 F-16s, blah, blah, blah. That's a direct threat to the people. Okay, that same president said, none of you can even define for me what an American is. And then he gets up, he does this deal with Russia. He trades this high-profile killer, basically. Okay, he trades him for a dyke basketball player. Okay, look, the last thing this nation needs is more dogs, more sodomites. Putin threw us a bone. Putin was trying to do us a solid. He was trying to help us out. Okay, he was trying to make peace. And what did our country do? No, just the same thing that the king of Sodom did back in Genesis 14. Keep the money, keep whatever you want, just give me the persons, just give me the people. That is what they are about, okay? But this woman hates this nation, hates this country, and Joe Biden gets up on national television and says she is the embodiment of what it means to be an American. This woman hates God. You sitting here this morning, you love God, you say you love the Bible, you love Jesus Christ, you're saved. This woman hates all of that. All of that. And this government that we live in today, what are they doing? They're promoting evil. They're endorsing that. Okay? And what's even worse is there's a United States Marine who's locked up over there. You know what's even worse than that is there's a guy that's locked up over there with the same charges that she had, the same marijuana charges that she had, the same sentence. But because he's not a sodomite, because he's a man, and because he's white, no trade. No trade. The worst thing, again, what is the worst thing you could be in today's America? A Christian. And it doesn't matter what color your skin is. If you're a born-again, Bible-believing Christian, it doesn't matter if you're black. It doesn't matter if you moved here from Nigeria. These freaks out here will stand in front of your face and call you a white racist Ku Klux Klan member. I wish we could almost go back in time and just go to some of these churches and be like, just kind of explain and see the look on their faces. Be like, you're crazy. You've been watching too much Star Trek. You've been watching too much, you know, weird Hollywood movies. It's like, no, this is real life. This is what we're dealing with. This is what we are living in. But what does all that mean for us? Okay, let's bring it back down. This means that the military, the politicians, the leadership in this country are becoming the merchants of sodomy. That's what it is. That is the number one export. Okay, that is the number one thing. That is the number one goal of the leadership in this country is to promote that. Okay, and they will do anything they can to succeed. Okay, it's in the Bible, it's what the Bible teaches, but let's come back to that here in a little bit, okay? So again, all of that has filtered down into law enforcement. I mean, I just saw an ad recently for the Boise PD, and they were like, we're dropping the standards because they're having trouble getting people to apply. Like, we're dropping the standards to basically get in here and to be a police officer, okay? I mean, Well, what do you think about that? You know, they have tests geared to find people that will suit their needs. I'm not trying to puff myself up, but I took this test back in 2003, 2002, something like that. And I'm not joking. I did this oral board. Okay, this is kind of an embarrassing story for me. But I had just gotten out of the infantry. Okay, and I just like, whatever, you know, this is the closest thing, I guess, to, I don't know, what I did. Right? I took a little written test. I got like a 70 on there. And I was like, man, I'm dumb. You know, whatever. They brought me in. You know, I passed that part. They brought me in to do this oral board. And the guy's like, he asked me this question. I'll never forget it. He says, what would you do if you were going to a house where somebody had a prior history of, let's say, domestic violence, you know, just all kinds of violence, things of that nature, and you had to do an investigation? And he said, I have this problem where flies and bats are just flying out of my stomach. I said, I'd tell him to shut up and arrest him. And the guy just, you know, tilted his head down, you know, kind of smiled, started chuckling, you know, he just started laughing. And he's like, you know, it's people like you that make police, you know, hated in this nation. I was like, well, yeah, I mean, if you just told me that the guy is like guilty of doing this stuff, right? He's like, yeah, but you got to have compassion on people. Yeah. And back then I didn't understand, you know, I just figured, I just got out of the army. I was like, well, this is how we dealt with people. We just threw them on the ground and, you know, zip tied their hands behind their back. And, you know, I mean, it's the same thing, right? And obviously I was off a lot on that stuff, but, you know, he just said, you know, you'll never make it in this, you know, you'll never be amount to anything like this. You should find another career. And he was right, you know. And it's not because of my aggressive nature. I think what they were looking for was somebody that they can mold into what they wanted. You know, that's what it is. Somebody that they can mold into the future plans. Because these plans have been in place for a very long time, you know. And he said some other things that kind of alluded that. And that whole process kind of woke me up to why police are the way that they are. You know, and police officers out in this town will tell you, you know, they have all kinds of, like, they don't like the mayor, they don't like this, not every one of them, but by and large, most of them just want to do their jobs and go home, you know. But what the leadership is doing is they're looking for people that will do what they say, that will violate the law. And we've even seen that in this church, haven't we? Like, we carry the law with us regarding solicitation, and it's very clear that we're not doing that. And we'll even mention this to the police. We'll say, well, if I were to go down right now and apply for a solicitor's permit, I would get rejected. And they're always like, well, why? Because we're not soliciting. Everyone knows that. And they'll be like, yeah, but you still have to leave anyways. Wait a second here. The title of your job is law enforcement. Right. You are supposed to enforce the law. We have the law here. Why aren't you doing it? Yeah. Okay? And that is the type of person that they are looking for. Right. Okay? And it's only increasing in today's day and age. Why? We have to take some of the blame. Because God's people have decided that they would rather be comfortable than actually confrontational. Right. Okay? That's what it all boils down to. Now, let's look at some application here real quick before we move on. You're in Philippians chapter 2. Look at verse number 15. So how do we live? What do we do? Look at Philippians 2, verse number 15. The Bible says this. Okay, this is what Paul told the Philippians who were experiencing very similar things. He says that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a what? Crooked and perverse nation. Now don't miss this. Among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Now who are we supposed to be blameless and harmless for? For God. Okay, we don't allow the world to tell us what it means to be blameless and harmless. Okay. Now this obviously coincides with what Jesus said about how we are supposed to blend the subtlety of the serpent and the harmlessness of a dove. Okay, we're supposed to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. So, for example, you know, and I'm going to talk about this here in a minute, but on the 18th of this month, they're going to have a transvestite Santa, and it's totally geared, obviously, towards you know who. It's geared towards children and families. Okay, now, are you going to find us down there protesting? Absolutely not. We don't do that. Okay, we don't go down there armed. We don't go down to these places in protest. We come to church. We live our lives. We say what we need to say. And that is how we operate. That is how we remain blameless and harmless. But the problem is, okay, the media after that Club Q shooting started saying, oh, well, you know, the pastor at Steadfast in Texas and Boise, you know, basically at fault for stuff like this. That wasn't until they identified the person was one of their own. Okay? But again, you're going to see the answer to this here in a little while. If we say something or preach something, what do the Satanists say? What do the sods say? Oh, you're hurting people. You're committing violence against people through speech. No, we're not. We're preaching truth. And in the eyes of God, and you're going to see this very clearly this morning, we are blameless. We are harmless. We should not ever let anyone make us feel guilty for preaching the Word of God, no matter how much it offends your poor little snowflake heart. Doesn't matter. This is the truth. And look, we need people to stand on the Word of God. Okay? Verse 16. Look at what Paul says. Holding forth the Word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. So number one, what do we do? What's going forward? Well, we're doing what we've always done. Okay, look at verse 15. That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Why is it crooked and perverse? Because there is a lack of resistance. There is a lack of people that are wise, that are preaching the Bible. Okay, but he says this, among, and this is key here, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. How do we shine as lights in the world? By preaching the Bible. By believing and teaching the Word of God, right? And here's evidence that it works. The very fact that we were in the news, the very fact that we get death threats on an hourly basis, the very fact that we have people protesting, this tiny little Boise church is proof that we are fulfilling this verse here. Because we don't have to go protest the abortion clinic. We don't have to go protest these transvestite Santa events and all this other stuff. We simply just stand up, preach the Word of God. We don't back down. And what is the result? We are promoting the Bible. We are being the light in the world. We are doing what God has called us to do, and it's working. It has been working. It has always worked. The issue is we need more people to step up and follow us, and people are waking up, okay? So this is powerful here. Promoting the Bible, sharing it with anyone who will listen, okay? This is what we need to remember here as God's people. This is what we need to do today going forward, okay? Share truth. Share any kind of sermon you can, any kind of soundbite, any kind of bit of truth that you can with other people. This works. You're all here because someone did that for you. Think about that for a second, okay? And number two, one that, you know, I probably haven't mentioned before, but look at verse 16, holding forth the word of life, okay? And look at what Paul says next. And he says this to the Philippians, but obviously it's applied to us too. He says, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain. Do you know that we have a responsibility today, okay? Understand this, we have a responsibility today to do service to our brother Paul. I mean, think about the Apostle Paul. He's still our brother. He's alive. He's in heaven. He's with the Lord. Okay? And think about the sacrifice that he did. Think about everything that he went through. And think about all the Christians now that just throw that away. Don't want anything to do with it. It's a slap in the face to your brother. We are commanded to take care of one another. The kingdom of God down here on this earth is connected to the kingdom of God actively right now in heaven. And we have a responsibility to make sure that everything that Paul did was not in vain. And we're going to do that by being courageous. We're going to do that by being blameless. We're going to do that by being harmless. We're going to do that by preaching the Word of God, again, no matter what anyone says, no matter what anyone does. Doesn't matter. That is what we need to remember. That is what we have to do, okay? And I believe we're obviously doing that. Go back to Deuteronomy chapter number 32. All right, let's back up here now to verse number 4. We're going to read this here real quick, and then we're going to go to Romans chapter number 13. Deuteronomy 32, again, let's look at verse number 4 here. Okay, so going back to this idea here, we're going to get moving on now towards the subject of the Boise PD. Look at this here. Deuteronomy 32, verse number 4. You say, show me how God feels about things. Well, here it is right here. Verse 4 again. He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment. We need to be okay with that. We need to promote that, okay? Because that is part of verse 3, ascribing greatness to our God. Understanding the fact that we serve a God of judgment. His word is judgment, okay? A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. God's laws all throughout Leviticus. And you know which ones I'm talking about here. Okay, those are just, those are right. Now, in today's day and age, okay, we don't live in Old Testament Israel. We can't implement those laws, though we wish that our government would. And our government used to, and society was better. You didn't have to fear for your life. You didn't have to worry about saying the wrong pronouns. And I'm not worried about it. I don't care. But, you know what I'm trying to say, right? You know, it is still a concern, you know, because there are people out there who's like, oh, it's not ma'am, it's sir. Okay, now you're in a fight. Now you're having to defend and all this stuff. Back in the day, you didn't have to worry about that because people knew and they understood and they saw how God felt and they implemented the right laws to remove that trash from society. Okay? So understand that this verse here isn't going anywhere. In fact, I'm going to show you very clearly, go to Romans chapter 13, how this extends into today's times. Okay, we're going to break down Romans 13 because we get a lot of people who email and question, you know, and they won't go back and listen to our sermons. They just hear something I said and they just, oh, you're violating Romans chapter 13. Your whole church is against government. You guys are anarchists. And I go to Calvary Church down the street. Okay, hold on, man. Back up for a second here. I'm willing to bet you can't even understand what Romans chapter 13 is really saying and really teaching. But I want to make sure that every soul in this room, every soul that comes to this church, even those that are gone today, but they already know, can explain what these verses really mean and teach other people what they mean. And we're going to prove to you today that we follow this to a T, okay? Again, we are not anarchists, okay? We understand that the way our society is constructed today, there's police. Okay, it is what it is. I wish they'd be more like the fire department, you know, and just kind of come out and stop harassing us as we're driving down the street a little too fast or whatever. You know, we don't need that, but, you know, that's a sermon for another day. look at this here, okay? So Romans chapter 13, verse number 1. Remember, we saw the heart of God. It's all throughout the Bible, but very clearly when Moses is teaching the children of Israel, he reminds them that his ways are judgment because that's always the first thing to be attacked is judgment and truth, okay? So look at this here, Romans chapter 13. And keep in mind that Paul's writing this to these believers in Rome, and they're dealing with a lot of the stuff that we're dealing with today. You know, their leaders are corrupt. I mean, you go look up Nero and the horrible things he's done, you know. But I have a suspicion that our society today is actually far worse. Far worse. There's more advanced tools, and it's far worse than it was even then. But nonetheless, let's break this down. Verse number 1, Romans 13. We'll look at this here. Paul says this, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Now let's stop right there. Okay? Notice what this says. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. Notice what it does not say. Let every soul be subject to every person in power. It does not say that. It does not say that anywhere in the Bible. Okay? What this is teaching us here is what true, proper, just truth government should look like so that we can have discernment to recognize what we are really dealing with here. Look at it again. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. So in other words, God has ordained governments and enforcement organizations, if you will, for his purpose, okay? To enforce truth for safety reasons. Look at verse number 2. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, okay? Stop right there. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, not necessarily the person, okay? I mean, think about it. You know, when there was a conspiracy to kill Paul, okay? You guys remember this. We studied this in Acts, okay? What did the Romans do? They protected him. Think about that. Even as corrupt as they were, the police of that day were like, they took it serious. They took that threat serious. right? And they protected Paul. And they said, you know what? We need to bring you to a fair trial. Last Sunday, what happened to this church will blow some of your minds because we didn't even get as much as that.
Right.
And this is about to get serious here, okay? And I'm not trying to scare you, but I just want you to understand what we are dealing with and what this means going forward. And again, not just for us, but for the entire new independent fundamental Baptist movement. Every church out there trying to get back to truth, okay? Every church out there doing the works of the Lord, okay? This doesn't just affect us. What happens at Steadfast doesn't just affect them. That affects us. That affects Verity. That affects Pastor Anderson. That affects the whole thing. Look at this verse again. Whosoever, therefore, resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Now, just to quickly illustrate this and to prove this to you, you go knock on the door of somebody who is a defund the police type person, like a total removal, okay? What are the odds of that person listening to the gospel? Pretty much zero, unless it's just somebody who lives there, right? Brother Jeff knows. He knows this very well, right? Some of you guys, you've lived this, okay? Now, ironically, what's the next thing they're going to do? They're going to call the cops on you, okay? But more on that in a moment here. What is this saying here? Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, okay? So all these people, honestly, they're like, you know, we need to get rid of the police altogether, okay? A lot of those people are evil. Hey, now we say it for a different reason. We say, no, the police shouldn't exist. We agree with that, okay? But if we're going to get rid of the police, we need to institute the entire law of God,
right,
minus the temple stuff and all that stuff that's not applicable anymore, right? But we need to go back to Leviticus. If we could implement all that stuff and give power back to the people and enforce God's rule, we wouldn't really need the police anymore, okay? But again, let's keep moving on here. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, okay? And so a sign that you're dealing with somebody who's resisting God is when somebody is like, well, we need to remove the Constitution. You know, the Constitution affirms and guarantees our right to free speech and to practice our religion the way that the Bible prescribes for us, okay? And so you have to understand that these people out here want that gone. Why? Because they want us gone, okay? So look what it says, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. That is what should happen. But what you're seeing today is that is not what is happening, okay? Look at verse number 3. Verse number 3, you got to understand this as well, okay? Because the Bible is going to define for us what a ruler is. Okay? And you have to know this. You have to understand this to be wise and to be smart and to be going forth as a disciple of Christ. Look at verse 3. He says, for rulers are not a terror to good works. So if someone hands you a test and says, hey, define for me what a ruler is, you need to write this down here. This is the answer. A ruler is someone who is not a terror to good works. A ruler does not terrorize Christians. A ruler does not say, hey, I understand what the law of soliciting is, but you've got to leave anyways.
Right.
That is a domestic terrorist, in fact.
Yeah.
That is someone who opposes God. Think about this. Our law in this city says that what we do in regards to soul winning is not soliciting, it's visiting. There is no law that says that we cannot go and visit people and try to make disciples and make friends and teach the word of God. There's no law prohibiting that. But a lot of police officers will try to prohibit that because they look at us as an easy target. They know that we're carrying Bibles, that we're not going to fist fight them, we're not going to tackle them, we're not going to do anything crazy. And so that emboldens these people, and they look at us as easy targets. You see, a lot of people, this is something else that nobody ever wants to talk about. A lot of people that were picked on and bullied their whole lives, you know where they often go? They go to the police department, right? They become police officers, or they become soldiers. They go into the military. Hey, the military is full of these types of people. So don't ever just blanket trust all of them is what I'm trying to say here. But the Bible says, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. This is what God has ordained. Why? Because he is a God of truth, a God of judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Okay, is that what you're seeing in today's America? Is that what you saw last Sunday at this church? No, you did not see that. Okay? For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. So now what I'm going to do, I'm going to reinstate this one more time. The Bible tells you that a ruler, okay, a person in position of power, is supposed to terrorize the evil, not the other way around. A ruler should terrorize the evil and protect the good. So what we have today is we have an agency in the Boise Police Department and other police departments, in their leadership. Okay, we have these entities, we have these people today that are in positions of powers, but they are doing the opposite. And so therefore, the Bible would say, you know what, you're really not a ruler. Because these people are trying to terrorize us. Okay, and I'm going to prove that to you right now. So you're going to see me dig through my phone here, and it's solely because I need to read some of these comments to you guys. Okay, last Sunday morning, okay, And this has happened a couple times, but last Sunday morning, the sodomites, the Satanic Temple of Idaho, whatever they are, okay, these people said that they're going to put on this dance protest to protest our church because we wound up as a light mention back in the news again not too long ago. They didn't even use our name this time, and it still got them upset, but whatever. So they decided to show up here, and it was supposed to be a dance party, okay? And they were here before I got here. Like, they were ready. Like, they wanted to yell at me, whatever. You know, we got out of the vehicle, came inside here, you know, and there are people still showing up, and they're just barking like dogs. Literally, just bark, rah, 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 rah. All they do. You guys know that, right? That's what they do. So, these people show up here. I want to say about 9:45, 9:50, look outside there. I see a couple guys with rifles. Yeah. What the heck's going on here? Okay, look outside again. We see about five or six people with rifles yelling, cussing, threatening women and children. See, the men here, we don't care. We're like, whatever. You want to threaten me, it's fine. Right over the head. I don't even care. Think about this, okay? Now, what made it even more interesting is there's a group out there. It's called the Idaho Liberty Dogs, okay? And it's made up of different people that go to different churches around the area, I guess, okay? They don't agree with us on doctrine, obviously. You know? But they wanted, in their hearts, they wanted to come down here and support us, okay? They didn't want to come in and sit in the service. They wanted to just stand out there, okay? And I guess pray for us. I wasn't out there during the service. I'm not sure what they did. I don't know if they just talked or whatever, okay? But they stood out there. And going forward, I'm probably not going to allow that because it just eggs these people on, and we don't need that. Okay, we're supposed to be wise as serpents, harmless as doves. Just get in here. You know, I don't have an issue if you got to say a quick thing, get it off your chest, whatever. Okay, I do it. I'm guilty. I've got the flesh too. Okay, but going back to this, so we have this group out here. Okay, and these people, and Brother Kevin will tell you, a lot of you guys know this. You know, they're out there like they're getting worked up, like getting angry, and really and threatening people. I mean, he's not here today, but Brother Denver would tell you that. You know, he walked in, he's like, wow. You know, like, what in the world is going on? Think about this for a second. Last Sunday morning, we had several armed protesters with rifles walking back and forth, even blocking temporarily the access to get into this parking lot. Okay? And they're starting to get worked up. They're starting to get more agitated. We have a history with these people. We know the Bible. We know what they're like. We know what they're capable of. Okay, this was getting out of hand by about 10:35, 10:40, right before the second song. Okay, and the decision was made to call the police, Boise PD, and they said, we're going to send somebody out. Okay, by the end of the day, what we left here, like 10 o'clock at night, I hadn't so much as received even a phone call from Boise PD. Ask yourself this question right now. What would happen if we went to that Santa drag queen event on the 18th and just stood there across the street with ARs, AKs, and just maybe a couple of signs, and someone called the police? They'd be there faster than anything. Okay? Every time the police have been called on us out soul winning, they have been there within 13 minutes. Mm-hmm. Under 15 minutes, guaranteed they show up. But we have armed dogs out. And I get where the dog pound of the area. I know that these stray dogs need to be controlled. You know, I understand that, okay? But the problem is, the government's making our job hard because they're taking away our ability to get any kind of protection. And don't let them fool you. They're online, oh, we had to do that because they want us dead. We do want you dead, but we want it done legally.
Right.
We want it done God's way.
Right.
That's all we're saying. That's all we're saying. We're not going to do it unless it's in self-defense. But here's the thing. You have armed protesters out there. That, you know how dangerous that is? That could pop off in an instant.
Right.
Because all they have to do now going forward is say that they felt threatened, that someone out there did something. All they have to do is lie. And we'll talk about this tonight in 1 Kings chapter 21, the vineyard incident.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? All they have to do is lie. And they're going to get away with it. But I can assure you that this is the wrong group to mess with. Mm-hmm. And I also want to say this before I forget. No woman, no child goes to their car without an escort.
Amen.
That's the change going forward. Okay? Now, they're not out there right now. They're not out there today, but there's been a lot of weird activity. Mm-hmm. Wednesday, we pull up here, get here early. I see someone, I see one of the dogs over there in a van. He didn't get the support, so I guess he left. But I pull in here, and I see a vehicle in the rear view just kind of watching. It's a newer vehicle. Okay, we get in here, and I see him just creeping through the parking lot. And at this stage in our church life, you know what that means, okay? And so I go back outside, and I watch this guy, and he parks over there. I just stood behind the sign, and I see this head pop out like that. And so I pop my head out, you know, and he's like, and we're doing this kind of thing, right? And I'm like, what's up? Like, you want to come visit? Or like, what's going on? And he took off and left. Now, if you want to come to church, chances are you're either going to park back here or over here. And you're not going to be like.
Yeah.
What I was talking with Brother Jeff about this. And what I think that was is some super nerdy, tough guy sodomite online and said, I'm going to go get in and sit through the service and I'll come back and brag about it. That's probably all that was. He wasn't armed. He didn't look like a major threat. I wasn't afraid. But that's weird, okay? And there's weird things like that. And so all I'm saying is that we are vigilant, and we're going to stay vigilant because these people are watching us, okay? And they're dangerous. Now, let's start reading some of these messages here, okay? Again, keep in mind, we have armed protesters out there, people with rifles. They're not afraid for their lives, okay? They're yelling obscenities at us, making fun of people, okay? Which we do that to them, and we're justified, and I'll get to that here in a moment, okay? But I want to set the record straight right off the bat, okay? They were not out there with rifles because they are afraid, and I'm going to prove it to you right now. So the group that was out here, the Idaho Liberty Dogs, this is what they said. Keep in mind, they are not part of our church. They are just their own deal, okay? And they made a post. They took a video, and they made this post and said this. The founder and members of the Idaho Satanic Church were protesting at a local church in Boise this morning. Okay, this morning the Satanists harassed, this is their words, this is what they observed. This morning the Satanists harassed and intimidated women and children as they arrived at the church, all the while screaming obscenities at them and wishing them death. Okay, and then he drops the name of their leader. And it says that this guy is often seen harassing women. This is very typical of him. And then he just says these photos were taken this morning. So understand that, okay? This is not just us. This is a group of people that don't even agree with our doctrine, okay? They're not King James only. I don't know where they stand on salvation. I don't know a whole lot about them, okay? All I know is a group of people that came here, wanted to stand in the middle, right? Not hot or cold, but whatever, you know, and do whatever they did. And this is what they saw, okay? And if you watch the video, and if you need a video, I'll send you the link, okay? And they said, this is the first time we've ever seen them armed because this group follows them all over town. So what this group does is they battle them at the abortion clinics, at the Capitol, and that's what they do. So they're familiar with these groups have a history together, okay? And what they noticed, what they saw is, why are they so aggressive here? Like, this is crazy. Like, they came in and told many of you, like, I can't believe we've never seen them act like this before. Now, their slob leader, who, by the way, was kicked out of the main satanic temple here and lost his ordination, I guess, is what we're hearing. Okay, that clown, you know, is on there. Well, we had to be armed because they want us dead. Well, look, just because I want you to die doesn't mean that I'm going to do it, because I'm not, unless you come at me or you tip that muzzle in my direction, okay? It just simply means I'm preaching the Bible, okay? So that proves to you that they're lying. And here's, let's get into it now. Here's further proof here. I got to be careful reading some of these, but okay. Here's one comment, and here's why, because we were monitoring these comments on Twitter, on TikTok, on YouTube, on Reddit, on all these different threads. We're monitoring what these people are saying. We're monitoring what they're saying a lot of times. And here's one comment. OMG, people protest, not going to do anything. No offense, but it would be better if we just started slaughtering all these worthless, homophobic Christians. Another person said, amen, leave the alphabet folk alone. Well, they said LGBTQ, but, you know, I don't agree with their terms. Okay, that was one. Okay, that's one statement that came in. So we're looking at this like, Let me get you another one here. Let's see, right here. Let's take a look at this. Here's another one. It's time to turn their churches into reenactments of the Pulse and Q Club events. Just saying, it is the only way that they will learn, and they deserve it. Does anybody in here think we went too far by calling the police? Because we have an armed group of angry dogs out there yelling obscenities, cussing and swearing at our church members, and they're saying things like this as it's going on, okay? A response to that comment on the Boise thread, this is what we need to do since they want to kill us, okay? We don't want to kill you ourselves. I don't know how many times I have to say that. They don't like it when I say that because they want their narrative to be true. When all we're saying, look, even the liberal news media backed us up on this.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Even the liberal news came down here and interviewed me and were like, okay, I see what's going on. Yeah, that TikTok awkward chick lied. Yeah. And they admitted it, that she lied. She tried to splice these clips and basically say that you're telling your congregation to go out and kill people. We don't do that, and they know that. They know that, okay? Here's another one. We will not be silent. Another one. That's actually a very good idea. Let's start now. What happens if you threaten the president of the United States and then say you're joking? Do they take it serious?
Oh, yeah.
Right, what happens if you could just randomly call somebody out here, you know, and you're pranking, you're like, I'm going to come to your house and kill you? Do they take it serious?
Oh, yeah.
What happened when someone threatened us back in August or whatever it was, and I reported it to the police? They took it serious.
Yeah.
Why didn't they show up last Sunday? Why? Because when Brother Kevin called, he read them these messages and said, I don't want this to escalate. We've got video. We've got these messages. No response, no phone call to this very day. Shame on Boise PD. Shame on their leadership. Shame on the mayor. Apparently, from now on, obviously, what we have, we won't call the police next time. Because they're not going to help us. The Bible says we're living in perilous times. And you need to understand that, and you need to be okay with that. Here's some more. Seems like they need a good taste of arson. Can't have a church of hate in Boise. This is not a church. Another person says, amen. We need to boycott all these types of churches. Please be careful, but bravo to showing up and standing up for your rights. Here's some more. We all need to band together and fight this homophobic stuff. Stand strong and proud. Burn it to the ground. Let's see here. I think you get the picture. I think you get the point. I think we all understand. Okay. Now, in my heart of hearts, I don't believe that they're capable of pulling anything off. Just because, as a church full of people that have experience with weapons, I can tell by the way that they're holding them and by their posture that they weren't going to do anything. Okay, but they could. Okay, these people are deranged. They're sick. They're reprobate. Okay, and so it sucks when you know this, when we know this is the truth, but law enforcement, they don't know the Bible. They don't care about the Bible.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's difficult. And, you know, what I saw early on, I would say they didn't, I could tell they weren't going to do nothing, you know? However, you know, when the decision was made to call the police, their posture had changed. They were getting agitated. They were working themselves up. These comments were coming in. They were reading them, and they were getting excited. And that's how shootings happen. That's how church shootings happen. Now, the messages that I can't read you, okay, I'm getting, and Pastor Thompson's getting these too, you know, on an hourly basis. It's like the same five guys are calling us both, like, every hour, you know, saying the same thing. You know, this guy, I promise I'm going to be there tonight, and I'm going to beat you up in front of the congregation. I promise I'm going to do this. You know, constant threats. I'm not saying this to have you feel sorry for us or anything like that, or to preach fear. There's nothing to be afraid of. Safety is of the Lord, okay? We just need to be prepared. That's all. You know, that's all I'm saying. We need to be prepared. But again, think about this. Think about the severity of the situation and what this means for our brethren churches in the world. The fact that you had an angry mob of armed sodomites outside of our building yelling threats. We've got several witnesses. We've got video. We've got these screenshots. By the way, I do need to find this one to read to you because this is very important. But again, nothing done. Police didn't show up. Okay. One of the people that were definitely out here, she says this. Comments on here now have to be filtered to avoid any comments made that could include arson or violence. I condone those comments. And that person was armed. That person was outside here. Yeah. Boise PD, any PD, any police department should have taken that serious. Okay? And so, again, I'm not bringing this up to scare you. You know, I'm simply just bringing this up because it's the highest level of hypocrisy I think I've ever personally witnessed. Yeah. Okay? One last thing I want to read for you. Idaho Botanical Gardens is holding an event on December 18th, which features a drag Santa for a Christmas family event. We need everyone to show up. Stay posted for more information. Okay? Now, you say, why are you reading now? What's the problem here? Well, here's the problem again. You just heard what happened to us last Sunday. Hopefully you understand the severity, what that means for every church like ours in America. It sets a dangerous precedent. It emboldens these people. Is what it does. It makes things dangerous. The worst thing we could do is allow that to stop us from coming to church. The worst thing we could do is allow that to stop us from serving God. We serve a great God who has protected us multiple times. It's not the first time we've had protests. It's not the first time we've had threats, and it won't be the last. I believe wholeheartedly God will protect us and show himself mighty amongst our people. Okay, but the mere fact that they're going to have this drag Santa event, again, if we were to do just the same thing, just stand on the sidewalk with rifles at the ready, rifles, and just start quoting Bible verses to them. Everyone in this nation knows those cops would show up. They would not neglect that. Okay, and again, we had to call the Boise PD back in, June? Because that dog was out there making these threats. Right. And they were coming in the parking lot. And they had to be set straight. And one of the police officers was cool. And the other one was like, we don't take sides. What do you mean we don't take sides? We need you to enforce the law. Right. These people cannot be screaming the fact that they want to attack us as we're coming in and out of church. Yeah. They can't come on this property. They have been officially trespassed. Right. Okay, I mean, think about this. Oh, we don't take sides. Yes, you do take sides. Oh, yes, they do. You know, I was there when Verity Baptist Church went through their big mega protest. And most of those police officers had the sodomite flag purposely sewn on their uniform that day. You want to tell me they don't take sides? You're out of your mind. You're crazy. And those are the types of police officers. Look, we don't need to defund the police. We need a refund of the current police. That's what we need. We need a refund on these people and get some people in there that have some common sense, right, that understand judgment and truth. Right. Okay. And the Boise Police Department, the leadership, apparently they need an overhaul. Yep. Okay. And we need to put that on the prayer list, that their corruption would be exposed and that this would go out and that this would be made public, because the fact that they didn't even so much as call should send chills down everyone's spine for a moment. This is very, very serious. And again, let's move on here. Let's get you guys out of here. Go to, let's see. Where are you at? Romans 13. I've been yapping so long. Let's look at verse 4 real quick, okay? So again, quick recap. What do we learn? Romans 13, okay? God ordained the powers for good, okay? Why? Because he's the God of judgment. He's the God of truth, okay? So what do we do as believers? Well, we audit our current people in those positions. So for, in other words, you know, when the police are like, well, you can't do that, we need to stand up to them and say, this is the law, this is what it says, and we need to go through all the proper channels to expose them, right? We have that God-given authority because the Bible teaches us the very fact that these powers were put into place to terrorize evil, not to terrorize good. Look at verse 4. Regarding the person in a position of power, a ruler. For he is a minister of God to thee for good. That is not what we saw last Sunday. That is not what is going on in today's America. Look at what it says. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Verse 5, wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. This verse here in today's day and age has been reversed. It has been completely reversed. They are not the ministers of God anymore. They are not punishing evil. In fact, they're making us afraid and the evil put at ease. Okay, go real quickly, Genesis chapter number 5. So we're really only going to look at a couple more passages and we're done, okay? Genesis chapter number 5. So while you're turning there, I'm going to reread for you Deuteronomy 32 verse 4, which is our main text for this morning. Okay, and I want to kind of shift gears a little bit here, okay? Let's talk about what gets these people mad and why we're justified in what we do and what we say, okay? So again, he is the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. Okay, now what I want to do is I want to ask you a question. What would you say about a man whom God took off this earth, right? Had him bypass physical death and took him right into heaven. What would you say about that man? That he pleased God, right? Genesis chapter 5, look at verse number 24, just to kind of prove my point here. Talking about Enoch. We're going to talk about Elijah here in a second, but look at Enoch here, because this happened to Enoch also. Look what it says. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. So what that means is that Enoch lived his life in a way that so pleased God that God just took him. God said, you are now mine. And keep in mind, this individual pleased God. Well, this happened to another individual in the Bible whom we've recently reviewed, but we need to review it again to get some more application before we're done this morning. Go to 1 Kings chapter number 18. 1 Kings chapter number 18. So we see that in Genesis chapter 5, there was a man who pleased God and God took him. He was no longer on the earth. He bypassed death. So could we say that he pleased God? Absolutely. Could we see that his life and his actions that are preserved are something for us to learn from? Absolutely. Could this give us insight on the heart of God and how God feels about situations, how God feels about evil? Okay? And in regards to evil, let's talk about wickedness. Let's talk about sons of Satan. Let's talk about those people. How does God feel about those? And what I'm talking about are people that have sold themselves to the devil, who have been converted to Satanism. How does God feel about those people? Okay, let's take a look at something here. Again, we just recently went over this as a church, but not everybody was there. So let's talk about this here. 1 Kings chapter 18, let me give you a quick frame of reference, okay? So basically what's going on is you have Ahab. He is the king of the northern kingdom of Israel. And what's going on here is he has allowed his wife to institute full-on Satanism. He's not restrained his wife from going after the prophets of God. And so God has sent Elijah to set the record straight. And so what Elijah does is he comes up to Ahab after having prayed for three and a half years of no rain. He comes up to Ahab and proposes a challenge to him. And this challenge is for him and it's for the people of the land. Okay. And what is going on here is he says, hey, you know, we need to grab these people basically that haven't made up their minds, Baal or God. Okay, which is the devil, Baal. Okay, these people haven't made up their minds. So let's set a test here. Let's see if Baal is actually real. Let's see if he will actually come down and manifest himself in the sight of his own people. Okay, and then what he's going to do is he's going to set up an offering. He's going to set up an altar of earth, and he's going to soak this offering, and he's going to call upon God, and God is going to answer that and show himself mighty, magnificent, and powerful in the sight of the nation of Israel. A lot of people are going to get saved. But along the way, there's a couple things that we learn about the prophets of Baal, about these Satanists, okay? And this so applies to us today and why we're in the position that we're in. 1 Kings chapter 18, we're not going to take the time to read everything, but look at verse number 26, okay? 1 Kings chapter 18, look at verse number 26. So it says this, and they took the bullock which was given them, okay, and they dressed it, and they called on the name of Baal from morning until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered, and they leaped on the altar which was made. Okay, and isn't this what the snowflake liberals do today? These woke people, when they don't get the response or the answer they want, they throw a temper tantrum. That's what's going on here in this moment. Now, I want you to understand something here. Look at verse 27. Look at how Elijah, the prophet of God, the man whom God took to heaven and allowed to bypass physical death, look at how he responds to their actions. Verse 27, and it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awaked. Okay, I mean, think about this. Elijah is mocking these Satanists. He is mocking these Sodomites, these devils, these people that hate God. He's mocking them with words. How do you mock somebody? With words or, you know, little motions. That's what he's doing. You know what you don't see here? You don't see God coming down and being like, hey, that's not loving. Hey, that's not tolerant. You have to ask yourself, why? Right. Why? Why? Look at verse 28. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets till the blood gushed out upon them. So Elijah preaching the word of God, Elijah mocking them, Elijah doing the work of God. What did that cause? It caused them to hurt themselves. It caused them to commit acts of violence amongst themselves. And that's exactly what I'm talking about. Okay. Now, as far as I know, I don't know of anyone alive who has or heard anything, maybe you guys have, where someone has said, oh, I decided to shoot up this club because I listened to Pastor Anderson's sermon back in the day, or because I listened to Pastor Jimenez's, you know, Pulse nightclub sermon, or listened to one of ours. Okay, no one has said that. Okay, it's always been themselves that have done it. Right. You know, all these queer club shootings are their own people, yep, because they're dogs and they return to their vomit constantly, and that's what they do. That is, the Bible tells you that. But here you have a situation where Elijah just mocks them, just uses words. They hurt themselves. You know what you don't see? You don't see God coming down saying, man, you shouldn't have done that, Elijah. There's no rebuke for Elijah in regards to that. And you know what? When we mock them, it's the same thing. We are guiltless, we are blameless, and we're harmless. I didn't harm you. Harm requires physical action. Harm requires me to go out and to physically do something to you. We're not doing that. Right. We're just preaching the Bible. We love God. We're a church after God's own heart. We're trying to follow the example of someone whom God took from off this earth and bypassed death. Right. Oh no, hard preaching caused somebody to hurt themselves. Even if that happens, it's not my fault. Right. You should have listened better. You'd get thrown out in court anyways, even in today's day and age. I believe that. Look at verse 29. And it came to pass, when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice nor any to answer, nor that any regarded. Now, for sake of time, skip down to verse number 40. Okay, so obviously, after Elijah goes through and proves to the nation who the real God is, miraculously, right, powerfully, look what happens. Okay, a lot of these people, I believe they okay, this is the true God. This is who we're going to believe on. Look at what happens in verse 40. And Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. Now, that was the law of the land. That was what was supposed to happen in Israel in that time. Now, in today's day and age, we're here as ambassadors. So we stay out of that. That's why we don't go physically protest to these people, because we're just ambassadors. We just simply say, hey, you know, our kingdom is about to move here on this earth, and you might want to get ready. Here's how you can get in. Here's what God feels about these things that you're doing. The choice is yours. That's what we do. And I do mock these people a little bit. All of us do. And we're well within our rights to do that, because Elijah did that, and there's no rebuke for that. There's no rebuke. You know, so if somebody comes up and Christian, so-called Christian people, you know, they're calling the church phone and like, you know, I don't appreciate the things that you say and the harsh words that you use for these people. Oh, really? Have you seen what they're trying to do to kids? Are you aware of the fact that a young teenage child, a 9-year-old, could call the library up and order a sodomite book, a pornography book, and the library will bring that to them? Are you aware of that? Do you not love children? If you're not mad about these things right now, there is something wrong with you. You need to be put on the prayer list. You need someone to light a fire under your backside. What's wrong with you? What is wrong with you? What's wrong with you is what's wrong with this nation. Not willing to take a stand. And, you know, it's pretty easy to take a stand today. I mean, all we're asking is if people just come to church and love God. You know, I mean, is that too hard? Is that really so hard, so difficult for you? Give me a break. Fast forward. 2 Kings chapter 2, look at verse 11. We got one more verse after this and we're done. 2 Kings chapter 2, let's talk about Elijah real quick. And we'll visit this again in a couple of weeks, but let's bring it up now. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 11. And it came to pass as they still went on and talked. This is Elijah and Elisha. And there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire and parted them both asunder. And look at this. And Elijah went up by whirlwind into heaven. For anybody to say that Elijah, you know, was super disrespectful here or that he displeased God, you know, you're crazy. This is very special here. We read about this with Elijah. We read about this with Enoch. You know, I mean, to sit here and say, you know, that the names that we call them is wrong shows me that you don't understand. How do you think, look, Elijah never claimed PTSD. Those people never claimed that. It's not written in the Bible. Right? Elijah said, don't let one of these people escape. Why did God allow Elijah and those people to kill those 450 prophets of Baal? Because they're garbage. Because they're infectious. Because all they can do is hurt people. That is all they can do. When someone is a convert of the devil, what you saw last Sunday morning is what you get. All they can do, look, this guy, their leader out there, you know, I don't want to take the time to read the screenshot, I'm just going to summarize it for you, but he's got his profile picture, if you will, on Twitter, at least it was last week, was him eating pages of the Bible at the Idaho Capitol or something like that, on the National Day of Prayer. These people are absolutely filthy and they hate God. We love God, hate is the opposite of love. What do we do here? Well, you know what? We do what we've been doing. Stay out of the physical aspect. We go out there and we knock doors, we preach the gospel, we share truth, and we love God, man. That is what we do. And we don't fear. The Bible says that fear is the snare of man. And we, look, I refuse, and many of you refuse, we will not have a church culture of fear. We are not going to have that. We are not going to allow that. We will grab you and I'll do something to you to toughen you up, man. We're going to make sure that you're good to go. Make sure that you've got courage, okay? And I don't know anybody in here that's got any issues, but go to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and we will be done. And while you're turning there, I'm just going to give you just kind of a quick recap here, okay? Just a quick overview of how God feels about this stuff. How does God feel about Boise PD? Well, God's terribly upset with Boise PD. I can guarantee you that. Say, well, how do you know? Well, it comes from reading the Bible. You start the Bible off here in Genesis, okay? What do you see? You see the first murder, okay? You see that situation between Cain and Abel, okay? What happened to Cain when he killed Abel? Got a mark, okay? You know, God granted his request and said, I understand this punishment is bare. God was patient with him. God winked at that situation and said, okay, I'll put a mark. You know, you fast forward, you get to Lamech. Does the same thing. And he's like, oh, look at me. I slayed some guys to my hurt, you know. Does the same thing. What happens when you get to Genesis chapter number 6? The whole world is filled with wickedness. And God floods the world and destroys just about everybody. I mean, it's insane. How did the world get that way? Well, God tells you a few chapters later when he starts to establish his physical nation, which was to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. He says, I'm going to institute the death penalty for these things. And the reason why I'm going to do that is so that we don't have a repeat of Genesis chapter 6. So we don't have a repeat of the flood. So we don't have a repeat of that right now. Okay? And so because our nation has taken that away, this is what we are left with. We are left with people in positions of power which God has ordained to protect good and to get rid of evil. We're dealt with the opposite of that, and we have to learn how to navigate through that. Okay? And, you know, I know people will be like, oh, what happened to some of those practical things you were preaching a couple years ago? You're going to see less and less of that. Okay? Because now the practical sermons are how to survive the current culture that we're living in. Because things have gotten very dangerous. And look, this is supposed to be a red state. You know? Have you noticed? You notice this stuff? You know, it does happen in California. It happened to Pastor Mejia's church. You know, his church building out blew up. But I've noticed that these dogs in Texas and here in Idaho, the reason why they fight so hard is because they don't quite have all their woke politicians in positions of power. And so they're trying to make a big scene and, you know, do all this stuff to get attention. But the point being that God showed you in the Bible. He showed us why we need positions of power, why we need truth and judgment, and we need people to enforce the law. See, back in Old Testament Israel, you know, God was obviously in charge, and he ordained the people. Go read Deuteronomy chapter 1. Okay, what does Moses say? Hey, you know, you're too many. I had to set up leaders, and I want you guys to find people that are, that love God and that are studied, that are wise, and you know, have them make laws for your current times and your situations and enforce those. That's implied there. Okay? But what we need to understand here is we don't live in those times. It's a very tricky, a very difficult situation in which we're in. Okay? And because Boise PD did not show up last week is why I don't want those people coming back and standing out there. Okay? It's not wise. I allowed it one time. It was interesting. Whatever. I'm not going to allow it anymore. Because we don't want to egg them on. We don't want to give them an opportunity to say whatever. Because now we don't know if the police are actually going to take the side of the law. Okay? Now the good news is these dogs are lazy. Okay? And they, you know, they're inconsistent. They're having their own internal fights, whatever. That's good news for us. And please understand, the Bible says, great peace have they which love thy law. Do you love the law of God? Do you love the Bible? You will get peace. You will get understanding. And there's nothing to be afraid of. There's no reason to fear. We love God. We serve God. Let's end on this note here. 2 Timothy chapter 3, look at verse number 1. The Bible says this, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." Okay? We're told this. We're here. Perilous means dangerous. Okay? Your beliefs, our beliefs, are considered dangerous to the people and the positions of power that God has ordained. We just need to understand that. We just need to realize that we have to stay vigilant. We have to stay awake. We have to stay observant. And we have to more than ever emphasize the wisdom of the serpent and the harmlessness of a dove. We have to put those together. You know, go back and listen to those sermons. I don't have time to get into it right now, okay? But we have to really make sure that we're doing a good job at instituting that. And a couple of minor tweaks with our security team that we're building right now, and more about that off camera. But again, there's nothing to be afraid of because we serve God. And he, I mean, look, you know, there's not too many people left out there preaching the truth, going door to door, standing up for what the Bible says. To say that God's not going to protect us or to have that feeling is crazy. You should never feel like that. How many times do we see God protecting people in the Bible? Right? We're not going to trust Boise PD to protect us. You know, but we kind of wanted maybe the common courtesy to maybe just show up and let them know, hey, we, as being wise people, just don't want this to escalate. That's all. That's all. But they wouldn't even do that. And you just need to be aware, you know? And hey, I'm glad that that happened because that's a great lesson for us to understand that we trust in the Lord. He's the one. The reason why nothing happened last Sunday, why it didn't get out of hand, even though Boise P didn't show up, is because God protected us. Because he is looking out for us. That's why. Not because people were standing outside of our building. No, because God cares about his children. You know, this small remnant that's left that has guts, right? That has the tools to get the job done, to be that light in the world. Shame on Boise PD and shame on anyone who sides with them over what happened. Shame on you. You should be disgusted with yourselves. And I'm sure, you know, there's officers out there that were like, man, maybe we should do something. But I don't know. Did they even get the call? Did dispatch relay that to anyone? What happened? Who made that decision? Ask yourself those questions. That's interesting. We need to know that. And, you know, it wouldn't hurt to go on their website, their Google page, and give them a 1-star review. Make this known. People need to be aware of this. Because look, all these little fancy Christians out here, they think, oh, I'm glad that Shield Church is in the Lord. I'm glad they're taking all the heat. Don't worry, fool. We'll be the shield for you. Don't worry, we'll do it. But here's the thing. They're going to come after you next.
Yeah.
Okay? The Bible's very clear. You go read Leviticus. After this comes the children and bestiality.
Yeah.
And you fools are going to be put on blast to make a decision. And then we're going to know exactly where you stand. You know, they're going to come get you. So, I've kept you long enough, but hey, it was needful today. It was necessary. I'm done with this. We'll talk about it a little bit tonight, and then we'll get back to Matthew and more pleasant things. So let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Thank you so much, Lord, for your truth and for keeping us safe. Just pray that you constantly continue to protect us, Lord, and help us to stay strong. And we just pray that you bless the soul winning today. Bring us back again safely tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
All right, so for our final hymn this morning, let's turn to number 198 in the Red Songbook. Joy Unspeakable. We'll go out singing 198, Joy Unspeakable and Full of Glory. I have found His grace on the first.
I have found His grace is all complete.
Close the word of prayer.